I was a-walking one fine summer's morning. The field and the meadows, they looked so green and gay. And the birds, they were singing so pleasantly adorning. So early in the morning, at the break of the day, oh, hark, oh, hark, how the nightingale is singing. The lark, she is taking a flight all in the air. On yonder green bower, the turtle doves are building. The sun is just a glimmering, arise, my dear. Arise, oh, arise, and get your humble posies, for they are the finest flowers that grow in yonder grove, and I will pluck them all, sweet lily, pink and roses, all for sweet Lemony, the girl that I love. Oh, Lemony, you are the fairest creature. You are the fairest creature that ever my eyes did see. And then she played it over all on the pipes of ivory. So early in the morning at the break of the day, oh, how could my true love, how could she vanish from me? Oh, how could she go, and I never shall see her no more? But it was the cruel parents that looked so slightly on me. Oh, for the white robe that I once used to wear. The cuckoo is a fine bird, she sings as she climbs. She brings us good tidings, and she tells us no lies. She sucks the sweet flowers for to make her voice clear. And the more she sings cuckoo, the summer draws near. It was walking and the talking, and the walking was I. For to meet my own true love is a coming by and by. For to meet it's a pleasure, and to part it's a grief. And a false-hearted young man is worse than a thief. For a thief he will rob you of all that you have, but a false-hearted young man will bring you to the grave. And the grave it will rot you and bring you to dust. So the false-hearted young man I'll never more trust. Oh, once I had the colour like a bud of a rose, but now I'm as pale as the lily that grows. Like a flower in the morning, cut down in full bloom. What do you think I'm coming to by the loving of one? Come, all pretty maidens, wherever you be, don't trust in young soldiers in any degree. They will kiss you and court you, poor girls to see. There is not one in 20 that may can believe.
Apparently a bloke came in with a bow tie on and a blue suit, and he said, "What are you doing in here?" And I said, "Well, I'm waiting over there, you know." And of course I got a bit sort of carried away, and he said, "You can't come in here." And he, "Are you a member of staff?" I said, "No." I said, "I'm just helping this poor bugger out." He said, "I suppose you've had your hand in the till." I've been putting the money in it. I said, "What do you mean? Put a bloody hand in there?" I said, "Just a minute, mate. I've come round to help the geezer out. You said you can't come in. I'm going to phone the general manager," he said. And he went out, there's a phone on the wall outside. He said, "I'm going to get you evicted from the premises." I said, "You can't, I'm on in about 5 minutes. No, it was terrible. Actually, I got quite annoyed because he's actually threatening me and that, and saying I've been pinching the money and So anyway, in the end, I sort of battered over it before the general manager got there. And he said, "All right, well, fair enough. But don't you ever go behind there again, because that's private staff. This door should have been locked. Anyway, get on the back of the queue." And I'd only come out for 2 hours a litre. I got so involved. You know, it's terrible, wasn't it? And that was Pompey Royal, honestly. It was so bad. I drove all the way back with my handbrake on. And that was only about 5 fucking
I got bloody parking bloody ticket that bloody day as well. I parked my car, I'm bloody dread going to Rally Bright because I could never find anywhere to put it, and I parked my car. I thought, that'll be alright up this old alleyway, and I found this spot and there was a parking meter there, and it said out of order with hood on it, so I thought, well, that's alright, it's going to be a cheap one to park on, isn't it, if things out of order. I've got the blasted parking ticket.
Did you?
Yeah.
No, I don't reckon that's
fair.
They
don't look at it like that.
I don't reckon that's fair.
The idea is to buy an old British Telecom van. You can park them anywhere.
Yes, I think
they're
right.
That's the telecom. I'll get next. Yeah. British telecom.
Police cars as well, actually. Yeah. Park them anywhere.
Right, well.
Although Rhett from Rome was always struggling to get
there.
Was
a song, then.
Leave one of them.
There was a song.
A young man courted me, and this lion to his wisest I did comply. 'Twas his false vows and fluttering tongue he beguiled me, love, when I was young. As I sat down at my love's right hand, he swore by heaven, by sea, short time after, he changed his mind. He changed his mind to a high degree and said farewell to young Green Valley. I mind the promise I made to you. I'll have no more to do with you. My father's choice I must obey. So farewell, darling, I must away. So off he's gone, and I wish him well. For to get married, 'tis I hear tell, my innocent babe I'll tend and care, and to his false love you will soon beware. Oh, am I bound, love, or am I free? Or am I bound to marry thee? A single life is the best I see. Oh, contented mind bears no slavery.
But he had a terrific Sussex accent and all that, you know, I was delighted with it.
What's that?
And we used to take him all around these old... Yeah, isn't it amazing?
Mm.
He died in early December 6th, 1974.
Crikey, is it as long ago?
Doesn't
as
seem that.
Is it as long ago as that? It's scarcely credible.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
I can remember when we
dropped 9 years ago.
His wagon.
Well, it'd be 9 years next, so it's really 9 years. It's really 8 years, isn't it? Just gone 8 years ago, yeah. But even then, it's fantastic,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And I
thought it was
long
ago. A gypsy wagon. Yes, that's right.
He lived in a showman's wagon, built by Savages of King's Lynn, Johnny, and clipped sort of Sussex accent, you know. It's built by Savages of King's Lynn, John, a most fantastic wagon. And it's all match boarded, you know, right throughout. And all the glass is bevelled. And you used to go on like that all the time.
Like W.C.
Fields.
Who bought that old van in the end? Because I was going to have it off. You was executor for him, weren't you?
Fellow Stenham.
Well, I sold it to a gypo for £40, but I never got the money.
On the way.
He went, that's a deal. And I sort of knew him a little bit.
He had a lovely wagon, didn't he?
Well, it wasn't old like that. Wasn't interesting.
No, but it was very nice.
But he restored fairground equipment, and he was the only person I knew at the time who might be able to have done something with it. The trouble was the back was broken, and he parked it in that field. Old Len parked it in the field in 1921, and he lived up in it until 1974, and never moved it. And there was no sanitation at all, and there was no running water and no electric light. And he lived there all the time, from 1920, well, no, actually, because he was contracting in the early years, but the van was parked there from 1921. And she was built in 1900 by Savages of King's Lynn. And inside, it was all, it was super in its day, it was all hardwood sort of finish. Around, there was a range in the grate, very small, iron range in the grate, and that was his only source of heat. And over there was the bedroom, and up that end was where you sat, and you could sit around about four people up in that end. But the trouble was, he had a lot of old magazines and stuff all packed tangled up, and you couldn't sort of get very near it. And in the middle of the fire, there was a special seat, which was a paraffin drum for running the oil lights, and you had to sit on that sometimes. And sometimes the old range used to get so hot, and you were sitting on this drum of paraffin, used to throw it up. And on the left hand side of the fireplace, there was a couple of cupboards. There was one at the top, and he used to keep all these spirits in there. And he used to have he hadn't got any money, but somehow he used to rake up some money to buy some stuff to put in there. And he used to have Woods Navy rum and all sorts of funny old things, old German brandy and all sorts of things. You know. And I remember the winter before he died, which would be the winter of 73, 74, I was up there a lot because he had a lot of flu and he was very chesty. And because he used to smoke 60 caps and full strength a day. But he used to say, that's farmer's lung, John, that's farmer's lung. Yeah. He said, when you go into a rick that's been stood there a long time, the white dust comes up. That's what's done it. It's the farmer's lung. He didn't think anything about this.
God, he didn't use
the
fucking
smoke. And I used to sort of keep him going a bit because he used to get really depressed. And he used to walk down to the little local phone and phone me up at the club. He said, John, John, I can't get the lamp lit and all that. And I used to go racing up there to phone him because I thought the world of him. He was like a second grandad.
He used to bring him out of the...
One day, because we used to drink all these spirits, and one day we'd drink a bottle of rum, me and John and him, and the next day I'd bring one up, and then next time we went up, we'd drink one apiece. And we used to drink the whole bottle, you know, the lunchtime. That's when I used to drink a lot. And John, and one day we thought we'd do the washing up. Well, he had a general purpose bowl that he used to pare his toenails in and wash his feet. And it was an old enamel, cracked enamel bowl with that blue rim, but it was ever so ancient and all dented and a bit unhygienic, really, I suppose. But we caught him washing his feet in it, and that's all he did wash, though. And he used to do the washing up in that sometimes. And you boil a kettle up on the stove and pour it in there, but you didn't have any fairy liquid on it, just hot water, so it had to be really hot so it'd burn your fingers. And one day we thought we'd do the washing up for him because it got a bit of a backlog. And when we were moving some stuff about, over the back there was a pile of dinner plates and they couldn't have been moved for 30 years. And we looked at these and they were behind some cardboard boxes. And we moved these out of the way and they were there. And we thought, well, we might as well do those. And they're all cobwebby and that, but we started on the top. And when we got about three parts of the way down, we got to these blue plates, only little dinner plates, well, breakfast plates really, that's right. And we were starting to wash these up, and old Len said to me, he said, you know, these are unbreakable plates, John. And I said, oh, are they really? He said, yes, they are. He said, a man came round there just after the war, he said, and he'd been going all round, and he was selling these plates all round the place. He said, they were very marvellous. And I bought a whole set of him. And I said, when was that? And then he said, war, it was just after the war.
Betty Baker,
all in the way,
ran off with a Quaker,
all in the way,
I guess her mum could shake her,
all in the way,
with a holly high-o,
all in the way,
little Susie Skinner,
all in the way,
says that she's a beginner,
all in the way,
she prefers it to her dinner,
all in the way,
with a holly high-o,
all in the way.
Kitty Carson,
all in the way,
ran up with a parson,
all in the way,
now she's got a little parson,
all in the way,
with a holly high-o,
all in the way,
a little Dolly Ducket,
all in the way,
washes in a bucket,
all in the way,
she's a type that doesn't look it,
all in the way,
with a holly high-o,
all in the way,
up me fighting cocks now,
all in the way,
up and split your blocks now.
All in my way.
That'll be enough now.
All in my way.
With a holly high-o.
All in my way.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you mentioned
it. All in my way.
The general Kentucky flying fried chicken. I remember they did that on All in my way. It's a good number. Mm. And Cyril Tawney used to do it as well.
Yeah.
It's
bloody funny. Bloody funny was what I was going to say about this bloody shanty, bloody Mark. I'm down in Rally Corner, and we're sitting in Dickie Dals and that, fiddling around with a wireless and that, just after Christmas. And he's got one of these marine band radios, and just about anything on it. And anyway, we're fiddling about, and we get Radio Ulster on there, and there's a sort of program on there, but day by day. So we're listening to this bloody lark, and this fella comes on there and he said, well, you know, this, there's a sort of an accumulator type thing. Who's this mystery voice singing? And there was this chap singing this chanty and that on there, you see. And I said, well, I know who that is. And he says to me, he said, yeah. He said, do you?
I said, yeah. He said, we listened to the end of the programme. Anyway, he got the telephone number and that in Belfast. And if you knew who it was, you had to phone up. And there was about £15 on the end of this. So, anyway, I get to the end of the programme and that gets the phone number and that dashes down the rally phone box, which has to go in the call box, you see.
because in 20p,
10p. Anyway, you'd be surprised. I got through and that must be a special rating there for Cornwall, I should think. I got through to Belfast, you see, on this old phone box and I phoned up and this gal said, yes, it's Dave by the day. I said, well, this here fella singing and that on the air. So I said, I know who it is. She said, well, you're too late. She said, you have to phone up before half past 10, after half past 9 and before half past 10 in the morning. She said, but you tell us where you're phoning from. He said, because we've got another scheme going on, which is the furthest listener away. She says, where are you? I says, Padstow in Cornwall. So, all right. She said, well, you know, tell us where you are and get the address and everything. So I done that.
Oh, yes.
And she said, you'll have to phone up tomorrow. So anyway, tunes in this old programme the next day, and there's this same fella and that singing on this same thing. So I dashes down the bloody phone box, and I get some stupid Irish woman and that on the other end of it, and she gets my name. She thinks my name's Paddy Stowe.
Pad Stowe, old Pad.
She says, where, what the exchange you're ringing from? I said, Pad Stowe. No, where's the exchange? And, oh, God, anyway, I put about 50 pence in the bloody box. And she said, well, yeah, but then you have to be put, you have your name put in the hat and one thing and another, and if we pull it out, we'll phone you back. So I says, no, I says, I'm down in the bloody phone box, and I said, I'm in the call box. I said, I can't stand about here all bloody morning. Anyway, cut the long bloody story short, I'll give it up as a bad job. It had gone up to £17 by now, and I thought, well, I'm going to spend £17 on people. So I'll give it up as a bad job. And about 3 days later, I get a blooming letter and that through from the BBC and that in Belfast, and that with a big packet and all the rest of it, addressed to me, Church, 6 Church Lane, Padstow, opens it up and it says, there's a big tea towel in there, and that, and it says, what, Radio something, Belfast, and that. So, first prize. So I never got the 17 quid or nothing, but I got a tea towel. And the long and the short of this was a folk song thing. And I'll tell you what, they said, you'll never guess who it is, because this chap was saying, because he ain't Irish, they said, you know, because you could imagine it anyway. And I'll tell you who it was. It was old Harry H. Corbett singing.
Really?
Yeah, that's who it was.
Oh, he's coming out of times here, isn't he?
Well, I mean, he's dead, and he snuck it, but there,
that's the old Steptoe, isn't it?
No? The bloke that played Steptoe. No, the bloke that played Steptoe. Yeah, Harold.
Yeah, he's dead.
The bloke, he died, and then he died last year, didn't he?
When young Israel knew my voice, when young Israel was you.
The first to come in was a ploughman with sweat all over his brow. Up with the lark of the break of day, he guides his speedy plough. He drives his team and they do toil, o'er hill and valley to turn the soil.
When Jones Israel was you, my boys, when Jones Israel was you.
The next to come in was the blacksmith with brawny arms all bare. And with his pint of Jones's ale, he has no fear or care. Throughout the day, his hammer's swinging. He sings as he hears the anvil ringing.
When Jones's ale was new, my boys, when Jones's ale was new.
The next to come in was the sideman, so cheerful and so brown. And with the rhythm of his side, the corn he does mow down. He works, he mows, he sweats and he blows, and he leaves his swathes laying all in rows.
When Jones's ale was new, my boys, when Jones's ale was new.
The next to come in was a tinker, and he was no small beer drinker. And he was no small beer drinker to join the jovial crew. He told the old woman he'd mend her old kettle. Good Lord, how his hammer and tongs did rattle. When Jones's ale was new, my boys,
when Jones's ale was new.
Now here is Jones, our landlord, a jovial man is he. Likewise his wife, a buxom lass who joins in harmony. We wish them happiness and goodwill, while our pots and glasses they do fill.
When Jones's ale was new, my boys, when Jones's ale was new.
At the first meet of these men, they said, do a punch. I did one, and I put 13 ingredients in. They met, they had a nostril outside. Chap got up his old voting rat, I don't know what he was, master or chief whipper or wiper or
whatever.
Going through the bar, there was some on the counter, he had two going down to the coat, he had one coming back. I'd never seen him before, but in the evening he came back. What the bloody hell was I drinking? I said, well, what was wrong? He had enough of it. He said, I got on a horse, there's some other bugger on him.
Last Valentine's Day, bright Phoebe shone clear. We had not been hunting for the space of 1 year. I mounted Black Clover, that horse of great fame, for to hear the horns blow and the cry, tally ho, ho, ho. Oh, 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 hark forward, huzzah, tally ho. Hark, hark, into cover, Colonel Windham, he cried. Yet no sooner spoke than a foxy is spied. Hark, hark, into cover, Colonel Windham, he cried. Yet no sooner spoke than a foxy is spied. There's a cry of the hounds and a crack of the whip, and that being the signal, our rounds they let slip. Tally ho, 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 hark forward, huzzah, tally ho. Then up stepped Jim Norris, who cared not a pin. He pushed at the stream and his horse tumbled in. Then up stepped Jim Norris, who cared not a pin. He pushed at the stream and his horse tumbled in. And as he crossed over, he spied the bold wren with his tongue hanging out, turning back to his den. Tally ho, 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 hark forward, huzzah, tally ho. Our horses and downs, they all were so good as ever broke cover or dashed through a wood. Our horses and downs, they all were so good as ever broke cover or dashed through a wood. So raise up your glasses and round let us drink, for while we are hunters, we never shall drink. Tally ho.